This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
I'm Tony Bruschi. Tonight, we step into the shoes of someone caught between the living and the dead, where every creak in the floor, every flicker of a light feels like a warning. This isn't just any house. It's a place where the past lingers, not as a memory, but as a presence. Imagine being a caregiver alone at night in a sprawling, maze-like house surrounded by artifacts from a life long gone. It's a house that holds echoes, whispers over baby monitors, footsteps in empty rooms, and a cold that creeps in from places that should be warm. But here's the unsettling part. The man who built this house may not have left it. His wife still sleeps peacefully, unaware, or maybe just unwilling to admit, that her late husband, Richard, still makes his presence known. For our storyteller, it's a growing question. Is Richard's spirit simply watching over his wife, or is there something more sinister at play? In tonight's story, we'll unravel the threads of unsettling encounters, unexplainable events, and one final chilling decision. Should they leave the spirit alone? Or do the dead sometimes need a little help letting go? Stay with us. It's a story that will make you question what's real and what waits for us on the other side. Dear Tony, when I first stepped into the house, it felt like any other place. Quiet, large, and a little lonely. But there was something else. It wasn't obvious. Just a feeling at first, like the house had its own heartbeat. I started my first shift as a caregiver in February of 2010. I take 12-hour shifts, and there are four of us who rotate around the clock to care for an elderly woman. She's in her late 80s, and with no children and a husband long gone, she's mostly alone, except for us. Her husband Richard passed away in 2008. His name is spoken with a kind of reverence in this house, but what stood out to me the most was that his belongings were all still here, untouched. His coat still hangs by the door, his shoes are neatly in place, and every piece of clothing is exactly as he left it. It's as if time stopped when he passed, and everything has been waiting for him to return. The house itself is something out of another era, huge, sprawling, and designed in a way that doesn't quite make sense. It's like a maze where one room leads into another and then another. And there's an elevator in the middle of it, though none of us use it. I could never shake the feeling that the house wasn't just a collection of walls and rooms, but something more, something alive. There are two rooms in particular that I hate. The first is what we call the back room. It's hidden behind a door in the elderly woman's bedroom. At first glance, it looks like a closet door, but open it, and you're led through a small space with a washer and dryer. Beyond that, there's another door that opens into a large room filled with old boxes, clothes, and a folded-up hospital bed from when Richard was sick. The back room is always freezing, 30 degrees colder than the rest of the house, no matter what we do. Doesn't make sense. We've tried everything, opening windows, adjusting the heater, even leaving the door open all day. But the cold never leaves. It's like the room rejects warmth, and walking inside feels like stepping into a void. Then there's Richard's party room. It's a massive space, complete with a full bar, couches, tables, and even a fireplace that hasn't been used in years. There's a fish tank, still half filled with murky water, as if waiting for someone to come back and feed the fish. I've been told this was Richard's favorite room, where he spent most of his time. It's where he entertained guests and held court among friends. The eerie thing is, nothing has been moved since he passed. It's like the room is frozen in time, waiting for the next party that will never come. Every time I step inside, I feel like I've walked into someone else's memory and I don't belong there. During my first week on the job, the elderly woman was asleep, as she often is for long stretches. With nothing left to clean, I lay down on the couch to rest, turning up the baby monitor so I could hear her if she needed me. I don't usually dream, but that day I did. It wasn't a nightmare exactly, but it was strange. Fragments of conversations I didn't understand, faces I didn't recognize. I woke up to the sound of a man's voice. It was coming from Richard's party room. At first, I thought one of the other caregivers might have arrived early, but the voice kept going, low, steady, like someone having a quiet conversation just out of reach. I stood up, heart pounding, and slowly opened the door to the party room. The second the door creaked open, the voice stopped. The room was empty, nothing out of place, nothing to explain what I had heard, but the air in there was different, heavy, like it was pressing down on me. I closed the door quickly, chilled to my core. Later that evening, when another caregiver arrived to take over for the night shift, I told her about the voice. She smiled like it was no big deal and said, "Oh, that's just Richard." I must have looked confused because she went on to explain that everyone in the house had heard him at some point. "Have you seen him yet?" she asked. When I shook my head, she gave me a sympathetic smile. "You're the only one who hasn't." She told me about the time another caregiver had seen Richard standing by the window, his back turned. Thinking it was the gardener taking a break, she called out to him, "Gene," she said. And then he vanished. Just like that. Another time, a caregiver saw Richard sitting on the couch in his party room, looking completely at ease. And then, poof, he was gone. Since then, I've started noticing other things, small but unsettling. Once, after dozing off on the couch, I went into the kitchen to grab a drink, only to find every cabinet door wide open. There's no way the elderly woman could have done it. She never even enters the kitchen. And I certainly didn't open them. Another time, I was cleaning when I heard a man's voice calling my name from Richard's party room. That voice, low, familiar, but somehow distant, sent shivers down my spine. Then came the night the lights began their dance. It started with the hallway light flickering on. I turned it off, but a moment later, the bedroom light turned on. I walked through the house, switching lights off, only for others to flicker back to life. This went on for nearly an hour, as if someone was playing a game with me. Finally, out of frustration, I said aloud, "Would you just leave the lights alone?" And just like that, everything stopped. There's been more. Pictures falling off walls, objects moving on their own, strange banging noises that seemed to come from inside the walls. One night, the banging was so loud I grabbed a knife and searched every room, convinced someone had broken in. But there was no one. The noise had come from inside the house. But the moment that unsettled me the most happened just recently. I was sitting on the couch, the baby monitor beside me, when I heard something mumbling, low and garbled, like someone trying to speak, but unable to form the words. I leaned closer, turning up the volume. The voice on the other end was deep, raspy, almost like it was clearing its throat. It wasn't the elderly woman. I rushed to her room, terrified something had happened to her. But when I opened the door, she was fast asleep, peaceful and unaware. Whatever I had heard, it wasn't her. Later, a coworker told me something I wish I hadn't known. Richard didn't just pass away quietly in his sleep. He died in the back room, the room that's always so cold. And it wasn't a peaceful death. She said that when they found him, his body was twisted, his mouth open in what looked like a scream of agony. His face was contorted with pain, frozen in a way that didn't make sense. Now I can't stop thinking about that room, about what might still be lingering there. I keep wondering, does Richard's spirit stay because of his love for his wife, or is it something darker, something unresolved that keeps him trapped here? Tony, I need your help. Should I pray over the house and tell him to leave? Or should I let him stay, as one of my coworkers suggested, believing he just wants to be close to his wife? She doesn't even know he's still here or doesn't want to believe it. If I tell him to go, she'll never know the difference, but I can't shake the feeling that something is waiting. And I'm not sure how much longer I can live with it. Since learning how Richard died in the back room, my shifts have grown even more unsettling. Knowing that he took his last breath in that cold, forgotten space haunts me in ways I didn't expect. Every time I pass the door leading into that room, I feel an almost physical resistance, like the house itself is warning me to stay away. I haven't dared to open it since. But the strange activity hasn't stopped. If anything, it's escalated. One night after the elderly woman had gone to sleep, I was alone watching TV in the living room. I muted the sound, thinking I heard something faint through the baby monitor. At first, it was just a garbled mumble, but the longer I listened, the clearer it became. A man's voice trying to say something. It was low and raspy, like the words were caught in his throat. It felt like he was right there, just on the other side of the monitor. I held my breath, straining to make out the words, but it was all broken, like listening to a conversation underwater. My skin prickled with fear. I knew it wasn't the woman I was caring for. I went into her room to check on her, and she was sleeping soundly, undisturbed by whatever presence was trying to speak to me. I sat in the dark for a long time after that, wondering what he had been trying to say, and if I even wanted to know. Then came the night I couldn't ignore him any longer. I had just laid down on the couch when I heard it, someone calling my name. It wasn't loud, but it was clear, and it came from Richard's party room. My heart froze. I lay there hoping it was just my imagination. But then I heard it again, more insistent this time. "Come in." The voice was low, almost coaxing, as if inviting me into the room. I knew I shouldn't go, but something about the way he called to me, like he knew me, made it impossible to ignore. I stood up, my legs trembling, and made my way to the door. When I opened it, the room was empty, as always, but the air was heavy and it felt like someone had been there just moments before. I stood frozen, unsure of what to do, when I noticed something odd. Richard's coat, the one that had always hung by the front door, was now draped neatly over the back of a chair in the party room. I backed out of the room slowly, afraid that if I turned my back, something might happen. I closed the door, heart pounding, and sat on the couch trying to make sense of it all. The house was quiet again, but I knew better than to believe it was over. The next day, I spoke to one of my coworkers about it, and she shrugged like it was nothing new. "He just wants to be close to his wife," she said. "As long as we don't bother him, he won't bother us." But I wasn't sure I believed that anymore. The way he called my name, the way his coat had moved, it felt deliberate, personal. Over the next few days, I tried to ignore the strange events, but Richard, or whatever was left of him, wasn't ready to be ignored. The lights began flickering again, more aggressively this time. Doors that I knew I had closed were found open. Once I left my phone on the counter and came back to find it in another room entirely. It felt like he was trying to get my attention, to make me engage with him. And then one evening, everything changed. And I had just finished tidying up the kitchen when I heard a loud crash from the back room. It was so sudden, so violent, that I grabbed a knife and ran toward the noise, certain someone had broken in. But when I opened the door to the back room, I found it just as I had left it, cold, quiet, and empty. Except for one thing. The hospital bed, the one that had been folded up against the wall, was now set up in the center of the room, as if someone had been lying in it. I stood there, knife in hand, staring at the bed, my breath coming in short, panicked bursts. I knew, without a doubt, that I hadn't touched that bed. None of us had. It felt like a message, a reminder that this was where Richard had died and that he hadn't left willingly. And I backed out of the room and closed the door, locking it behind me, though I knew it wouldn't do any good. I didn't sleep that night, every creak of the house sending my heart racing. In the morning, I spoke with my coworker again, asking her what she thought I should do. "Should I pray over the house?" I asked. "Command him to leave?" She shook her head, a strange sadness in her eyes. "Let him stay," she said. "He's not hurting anyone. He just wants to be near her." But I wasn't so sure. The activity had become more frequent, more intense, and I couldn't shake the feeling that Richard's spirit wasn't at peace. What if his presence was more than just love for his wife? What if it was anger or fear? And what would happen if I did tell him to leave? The elderly woman, blissfully unaware of everything going on around her, still believes her husband has moved on. If I were to cleanse the house, she'd never know the difference. but something in me hesitates. What if he doesn't want to go? I don't know what to do, Tony. Every instinct tells me that whatever is in this house isn't finished. There's a heaviness here that won't lift, a coldness that seeps into your bones. I feel it every time I step into the back room, every time I hear my name whispered from the party room. Maybe he's waiting for something, or maybe he's waiting for someone to send him away. I've tried to convince myself that this is just an old house with old memories clinging to the walls. But deep down, I know it's more than that. This is a house haunted by a man who never got the chance to say goodbye. So now I leave the question with you, Tony. What would you do if you were in my place? Would you tell him to leave and risk disturbing whatever peace he has found? Or would you let him stay, knowing that his presence might never let you rest? Either way, one thing is certain. This house isn't finished with me yet. Signed, a caregiver in a house that remembers. Stories like these leave us wondering, are these just echoes of the past or is something far more complex unfolding? On one hand, you could chalk it all up to the mind playing tricks, a combination of exhaustion, isolation, and the weight of unresolved grief. It's not uncommon for people, especially caregivers, to feel emotionally entangled with those they look after. And in a quiet house filled with relics from a life now gone, the brain can conjure strange things. Perhaps the mind is simply filling in the silence with shadows and whispers. But there's another possibility, one that's harder to ignore. What if Richard truly never left? Not as a memory, but as a presence. His favorite rooms, his untouched belongings, and those strange, intentional encounters all point to the idea that this isn't just residual energy, but an active spirit. Something conscious, perhaps, even deliberate. We've heard it before, a spirit lingers not out of malice, but out of love or unfinished business. Maybe Richard stays to watch over his wife, ensuring she isn't alone in the twilight of her life. It's a comforting thought. Until you wonder if love can turn into something possessive. What if Richard's spirit isn't just a benign presence, but one struggling with the fact that life went on without him? The most unsettling part of this story isn't the strange noises, the shifting furniture, or even the voice on the monitor. It's the dilemma our storyteller faces, whether to let the spirit remain or command it to leave. And that decision isn't as easy as it seems. If Richard is holding on for love, is it really our place to send him away? And if he's trapped by unresolved pain, will sending him off offer him peace or provoke something darker? The truth is, we may never know. Some things are meant to remain mysteries, unresolved and unsettling. I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to hear more ghost stories like this, stories that make you question the boundary between the living and the dead, be sure to subscribe.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.